Browns football Sunday. Here we go. The 2025 football season almost upon us. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. We go to the fan hotline. She covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Seen her all over Pro Football Talk, talking to Mike Florio recently. Good stuff. Mary Kay Cabot, nicely done. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, good.
We are well. We just did a little exercise. Most intriguing player at every position. And Andy and I had fun doing it. But we thought the guy who might be the most intriguing guy on this entire team might be DeJuan Jones at left tackle. How's he looked so far, and what are you hearing?
Well, he's looked good so far. It's hard to tell until you get into the regular season. It's really hard to tell because no one is game planning for you yet. No one is trying to attack your weaknesses. You haven't tried to see if you need to provide him with any chipping help or with any doubling or anything like that. So it's the unknown factor on the offensive line right now. And if he holds up and plays really well, I think the offensive line could potentially be one of the best in the NFL this season. But a lot of it comes down to how he performs.
Mary Kay, I thought it was interesting yesterday that Kevin Stefanski said he had never been to a big-time college football game other than, you know, his own games at Penn. I think that's kind of fascinating that your head coach...
That was funny.
Yeah, but it makes sense. If you're working in the NFL, it's kind of hard to get away on a Saturday to go watch a game. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I kind of knew that. I've heard him say that before, but this was the first time he actually said it publicly. So I actually wrote a little story about it and
put
a headline on it.
Yeah,
because I thought that was interesting. I thought people would find that kind of fascinating that he's never been to a major college football game before. But he started working for the Eagles right out of high school. And so right out of college, right out of Penn. So he didn't have those Saturdays. He, right from the jump, he was already tied up and busy and working in the NFL on Saturdays. So you just don't have time to go to those kind of games. But it is interesting that in all of these years that he's never been to one. And as I wrote in my story, if you're going to pick one to go to, you want to go to Ohio State beating top-ranked Texas in week one.
Good point.
Browns had people there. They had folks at the LSU-Clemson game, according to reports. How active are they going to be this year, Mary Kay, tracking down every guy who might be a possibility for a first-round pick at quarterback next year?
Well, absolutely. Every time these top quarterbacks are going to be playing around the country, the Browns will be there in some form or fashion. They will be represented at all of these games. It's vitally important that they come out of the 2026 draft with their quarterback of the future, unless, of course, Dylan Gabriel establishes that he is their surefire 100% can't-miss guy this year. And it might be tough to do that unless he has a lot of playing time and a lot of games and a lot of data. So they are going to be crisscrossing the country, looking at all of these quarterbacks and trying to determine the best course of action in 2026.
What kind of pressure does that put on your number two and three quarterback, knowing that the front office is out looking for a quarterback every week? How do these guys handle that position, and how should they think of it for the long term, if you can even do that in the NFL?
Well, competition always brings out the best in everyone, and no matter where you're at in the NFL, there's always going to be someone pressing you. And so these guys should just get used to that, because that's the name of the game in the NFL. There's always someone that's right behind you, ready to take your job. And it's just the tension of the NFL.
Do you think the Browns had a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, Isaiah Bond, we really like you type of thing in place, Mary Kay, if everything cleared up for him from a legal standpoint? Or do you think that was a late, hey, we're jumping in here and trying to get this guy?
Oh, no, it's documented. I mean, I have written a number of times that they stayed in very, very close contact with his agent and with Isaiah Bond throughout the process after the draft, when he went undrafted because of the arrest. They stayed in super close contact with his agent, and they never lost sight of him, and they always planned to acquire him if his legal situation cleared up. So that was not something that they jumped in on at the last minute.
How ready is he to play, in your estimation?
He looks pretty ready. He was doing two-a-days while he was out, and he was working really, really hard And I think that showed when he came here. I was very surprised that he seemed to be in such good shape. You know, when you run that fast and that far as a wide receiver and you have been out of football for a while, a lot of times you end up with pulled hamstrings and other pulled muscles. But so far he's stayed away from anything like that. And he catches the ball nicely with his hands. He's very fast. His route running looks good to me. So I think he will contribute in week one.
Mary Kay, we know the names on the offensive line. I'm just curious your thoughts on, you know, what they're going to be this season and the ability to keep this, you know, front five, you know, healthy all year and guys who need to be ready. Just your thoughts on the offensive line.
Well, again, I think it's a good offensive line. It's got three all pros on it. And I think that Ethan Posage plays at a Pro Bowl level. So I think the only unknown there, once again, is DeJuan. But I think, I mean, he's got the size, he's got the talent, he's got the ability. It's an adjustment, of course, playing at left tackle. But I think he'll be able to make that adjustment. And it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, will it take him a few games? Will teams try to exploit that as a weakness in the early going? Will he be able to stand up to it? So other than that, I think they should be very solid across the board.
How's Jack Conklin feeling these days? You know, his health has been a concern since he's been here. When he's healthy, he's a terrific offensive lineman.
Yeah, once again, he's an all-pro, and that shows. I mean, that caliber of player just hits differently when you see them out on the football field. And he is certainly in that category. And he's another year out from his surgery, a very, very major knee surgery in his own right. We talked so much about Nick Chubb's knee, but Jack Conklin really had to come back from a very serious knee injury of his own. Yep. He's done that. He's another year out from it. And so I think he'll even be better this year.
How has Kevin Stefanski grown in the last 12 months?
I don't know. I mean, he's pretty consistent. I don't know that I can honestly say that in the last year he's grown in any single category. I know that he tries to be better every year than he was the year before, and he's comes from a growth mindset, and he always tries to increase his knowledge of offense and every other area of the football team. But I can't pinpoint one thing that maybe he's grown in, except for maybe just in delegating things a little bit. I think that, you know, now he feels really, really good about his staff at all positions. And I think that he probably will do a little bit better of a job of letting Tommy Reese handle some things, letting Bill Musgrave handle some things that he would have taken on his own.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, covers the Browns for the Plain Deal at Cleveland.com. You also covered Bill Belichick when he was here. You and I sat through many a press conference together. We know how painful those could be. I don't know if you happened to catch Bill after his North Carolina Tar Heels got smoked by TCU last night. Did you hear any of that press conference?
No, I've seen little snippets of it.
Mary Kay?
I didn't watch it.
It made me cry almost. It's like, Bill, you're trying to be cordial and nice. This isn't you. I had to laugh because, and I give him credit, you know, college is a different world than the NFL, but people were asking him questions, the type of questions that you and I asked him over the years and so many other people when he was here and in New England that he would not give a response to or would bite their head off or whatever. And he gave cordial answers to everything. I almost teared up. I felt bad for the guy, Mary Kay.
Well, you know what? It's early. It's early on in the process. So
that's a great line.
Sure, right? He wanted to put his best foot forward,
yeah.
Especially after a beatdown like that. So, not too surprised about that. Wonder how it'll go, you know, weeks down the road.
It was just so strange to see the guy that we know is just so blunt and direct, and no, you know, everybody in the NFL knew that, but I just kept waiting when I'm listening, because I listened to the whole press conference, and I thought, well, that was kind of a cordial answer, and that one was a cordial. Oh man, come on, Bill,
who is this guy?
It was different.
Yeah,
it was different.
Yes,
it
exactly.
Is weird. It is weird though to look at their coaching staff and go, man, this is like a Cleveland reunion. Michael Lombardi, Freddie Kitchens. Who else? Mike Prefer's there. Jamie Collins is there. I mean, I think I was a little intrigued by that last night too. I'm like, there's some serious Browns influence on what he, on the staff that he has at North Carolina.
Oh, no question about it. It is. It definitely has a Cleveland Browns vibe to it, which is really kind of weird. But yeah, some familiar faces that we all enjoyed covering here.
Browns and Bengals coming up on Sunday.
Are you being PC on that? I'm sorry, Jeff. You're being a little PC on that, aren't you? We all did. I mean,
a little bit.
Sure,
yes.
We did.
Interesting characters
sure.
across the board. Yes.
Browns, Bengals. Bengals doing something different this year and playing Joe Burrow in the preseason. Joe has had slow starts in the past. I wonder if it pays off. What are you looking for on Sunday?
Well, what I'm looking for is how is Joe Burrow and how is that offensive line going to handle what looks to me to be a dominant defensive line of the Cleveland Browns. I think that is where the game is going to be won by the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, is their defensive line getting after Joe Burrow, and they better have a game plan for how he's going to get the ball out quickly and how they are going to function on offense, because I think Myles Garrett is going to come out with his hair on fire. I think Mason Graham is going to show out very well, and the rest of the offense, defensive line. And I just really think that that is where the game is going to turn.
You like the Browns?
I do, because of that reason. I just think they, like I said, they better keep Joe upright. They better keep him protected and able to function, or it's going to be a very long afternoon.
You did a great job all preseason. Loved all your training camp coverage, everything you did to get ready for the season. Can't wait to see your work as we get going on Sunday. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com, joining us right there on the Fan Hotline. It's Andy. I'm Jeff. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Mary Kay Cabot taking the Browns on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. Why? Pass rush. Will they get to Joe Burrow? The Bengals' defense, not great shakes. The offensive line has been a problem in the past. Will they be able to protect Joe Burrow against this Cleveland Browns defensive front? Well, there's a storyline for you, my friend. I like it.
Are you going to make your prediction today or no? Are you going to wait till later in the week?
I'll wait.
Okay.
But I like her thinking on it. And I mean thinking as in this is how this can get done.
I see paths to victory. I can see a few paths. The question is, will I see it on Friday?
Yeah.
When we have to disclose, or Thursday, I guess. We'll disclose on Thursday because you're here on Thursday.
Oh, thanks.
Just for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're the Phelps in Baskin and Phelps, in case you're wondering.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Who's the and?
I have no idea. it's the mystery of all. The why. Otherwise, it would just be.
It's an opportunity
for the
Browns.
My name backwards and you.
It's funny. It's an opportunity for the Browns to step up and I think show defensively right away what they might be capable of doing. You know, can they pull that off? I hope so. Will they pull that off? I don't know. But I do think they're capable of doing that defensively.
Count your three and outs on offense. That's what I say, because the longer the defense has to stay on the field, the more concerned I become.
I had a buddy tell me over the weekend, you know, if this defense does what it's supposed to do, there's no way they lose 12 games. Now, that's not setting a high bar, but I would agree. If the defense does what it's supposed to do, I think this team doesn't lose more than 10, to be honest, if the defense does what it's supposed to do. And I think it has to, based on something that we've talked all about, the offense.
The depth on defense does not thrill me, let's be honest, right? You can't be excited about the depth on the Browns defense.
I don't know that. Yes. Although I like the depth on the defensive line, which I think is the key to the whole thing.
All right. Linebacker,
I don't like the depth.
Defensive back don't exactly throw.
I don't like the depth. MJ Emerson getting hurt doesn't help matters.
No.
Do you like the depth on the line?
On the D line, I do.
It's kind of Miles and the kids, isn't it?
No. I'm a buyer of Mason Graham stock.
He's one of the kids.
I know, but I'm already buying the stock.
Okay.
I think Mike Hall, when he's healthy, will be good. And I think Malik Collins will do a nice job. And I like the combination of Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire.
So for this to take off the way let's put a positive spin on this.
Okay.
For this team to win 9 games, right? Be above 500, 8, mm-hmm. 9 games. What do you expect out of the defense?
I expect it to look much more like it looked 2 years ago than it looked last year. And it's that simple. It doesn't even have to be as good as it was 2 years ago, but it has to more closely resemble that defense than the okay defense that they played last year. One of the key reasons I say that is some of the stuff we see on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is going to have to carry the team. Gennaro Felice of NFL.com, he's an editor at large, is his title, put out a thing over the weekend. It says 2025 NFL triplet rankings. And by triplets, he means pass catcher, running back, quarterback. He ranked them 1 through 32. Unfortunately, he started at 32, so I didn't have too far to scroll. He has the Browns ranked dead last.
Kind of hard not to, isn't it?
He has their quarterback is Flacco. Their running back is Dylan Sampson, not Ford or Judkins. And you can't have Judkins because he's not here. And then the pass catcher is Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. He's right, Jeff.
He said Kenny Pickett's hamstring injury essentially decided Cleveland's four-man quarterback, and then in quotes, competition in late July. But at least we had some fun along the way, right?
I don't think it didn't matter who was it going to be a quarterback. They were still going to be 32.
He's got another great line. He said, remember the Shedeur Sanders conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
It turned into a Shedeur Sanders showcase. Good times.
Good times, yep. This is pretty well written.
Golly.
Do you think he's wrong?
No, I don't. They don't have a running back as of yet because you have two rookies that makes you think, man, that guy's a stud. And I think Jerome Ford is competent. I think Jerome has done a nice job here. I'm glad he's still on the team. It tells you a lot about what the Browns think about Jerome Ford, the double whammy of we drafted two running backs and here's your pay cut.
Right.
That doesn't bode well, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm just curious who his number one is. I'm going to let you go through this because I don't want to see
I'm further, pretty so. Much done. Saints were 31st. Think about how bad the Saints are. Tyler Shuck, Chris Olave is their pass catcher, and Alvin Kamara, 30-year-old running back. I think Kamara is still tough, and we all like Chris Olave. But
that's 31.
That's 31.
So one.
They rank that better than the Browns.
Yeah.
Shuck at quarterback, and Tyler didn't even win the gig, as it turned out.
And the number one team?
I didn't even go down that far.
Oh, it's not too tough to figure. I Cincinnati, I figured it would be top five, and they were.
Baltimore, yeah.
Baltimore is number one.
Yep. Hard to argue with that.
Derrick Henry and Zay Flowers.
Arguably have two of the best guys there. You could make the argument that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the league, and you could make the argument that Derrick Henry is still the best running back in the league. Folks in Philly might disagree with you, and they're ranked third with Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
See, this is, to me, Andy, this is what the Browns need to get to.
Mm.
I mean, Lions are ranked number two. Jared Goff, all right, you got your quarterback. Jahmyr Gibbs, boy, not only do you have one running back, you have two. You have David Montgomery. Wow, good for you. And then you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who the Browns, of course, could have drafted but didn't.
I think the hard part is looking at two teams in the top four that are in the AFC North.
I made Bennigan sigh already.
I missed it.
No one wins when you play that game.
Yeah. I mean, you want that type of talent on your football team. And perhaps the Browns have drafted some, and they're going to get there. You know, but right now, their trio, quarterback, pass catcher, running back, ranked dead last in the National Football League. It's hard to argue with that.
They have San Francisco at number five, and I'm wondering if this group isn't going to age out a little bit this year. Brock Purdy is 25. That's not even
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey and Kittle. Kittle's 31 already.
Well, McCaffrey, if healthy, is going to be phenomenal, but health was an issue.
Josh Allen's 29. James Cook And Shakir.
Hard to believe Josh Allen's 29 already, isn't it?
It did. Time does fly. Yeah. I agree with you. But Cook and Shakir.
Baker's 30 already.
25 each. Baker is 30. How did that happen?
I don't know how that happened. That's ridiculous. But nonetheless, the Browns have to find some things. Do you?
I can see a lot of these going sideways as I start looking up.
Well,
the
sure.
List.
Absolutely. Yeah. How confident are you that Judkins is going to play this year?
Because I'm not. I mean, I know you. I hope you're right.
I'm confident he's going to get a contract.
I can't even say that in good faith.
How much is this going to put him back?
This feels like Daniel Espina. That's what this is feeling like more and more. And by that, I mean we heard about Daniel Espina in the Guardians farm system forever, that he was the next great right-handed starting prospect, that he was making his way up, and it was all going to work out, and then he
hasn't pitched in over 2 years.
Then he hurt his arm again.
Well,
now he's hurt his arm again and hasn't pitched in 2 years, and this is starting to feel that way, where we need to pretend that he doesn't exist until he walks in the
door. All right. Well, let me give you another baseball example.
That's a great way to look at it.
Let me get you going. We heard the same thing about George Valera. Who was the starting DH yesterday? George Valera finally made it.
And what did we say about George Valera until that moment he stepped on the field?
Yeah, we'll believe it when we see it.
You need to pretend he doesn't exist. And I think that's how Browns fans need to look at Quinshon Judkins. Until he hits the field on a Sunday wearing a brown and orange jersey, he does not exist.
The bad thing here
guys,
is...
Guys, he's 6 weeks behind the rest of the team, too.
Has he been working out like crazy? If he has, like Isaiah,
they're in shape, and then there's football shape.
Like there Isaiah Bond had been working out.
Mm-hmm.
If he has been, then okay. Because guys, they drafted him to be the centerpiece of the offense, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's the guy. He's the centerpiece of the offense.
Unless it becomes one of the two rookie quarterbacks.
Now our fingers are crossed that Dylan Sampson is going to be able to step in and do a nice job.
I think Jerome Ford
is going to do a nice job.
I think Sampson can do a nice job. I think Ford can do it. If you're not living and dying by the running back, then I think these guys are going to do a good job. Does Junkins give you a chance to live and die by the running back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's your difference.
Should I be... Or is it just my stupid Browns optimism? Should I be really anxious to see Rocket Sanders at running back? Dan just chuckled. I know. Dan, this kid is already
talking. Have you watched any tape on him?
He's talking the talk.
He has said, I can do it all.
I'm anxious to go. I can do it all.
I have not.
He's interesting. He's super interesting.
He's big.
Yeah.
He's strong.
He's hard
fast
to bring down.
He runs a little vertically. I've heard him described as a Darren McFadden type. And if you remember Darren McFadden, he also was an Arkansas running back who went to the Raiders. And I think he was a first-round pick, if not high second round. I forget one or the other. And he looked on tape like, man, this guy is going to be a beast. And then never really achieved that on a regular basis.
McFadden, huh? Just don't worry. Be happy. Let's see what happens.
Really?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Andy Baskin for your entertainment.
Thank you. Junkins needs to come back. They got to figure this thing out. They got to figure it out quick.
Wouldn't you feel better about the offense if it was Sampson, Ford, and Judkins?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel better?
Well, that's what we thought it was going
to be. I'd feel better.
I just wish the NFL would make a statement. Just let it. If he's going to be out for 6 weeks, let us know that he's going to be out.
Make the move, right?
Why is it so hard or difficult for them to say that they can't give us some kind of answer?
And there has to be more to it than just the NFL waiting on the punishment that's going to come for the Browns, because you'd think you could figure that out. I mean, it's not like this is the first time the Browns have dealt with off-the-field issues and having to sign a contract, and they've managed to figure some of those out.
If there was a Lombardi for that stuff, we'd have it.
So there has to be something else going on, and I don't know what it is. It might be between the agent and the Browns themselves trying to figure out guaranteed money.
Which appears to be the idea here. By the way, I wish it was the NFL investigating. I don't like the idea that... okay, he's already out because of stuff that happened off the field, and his agent and the Browns can't come to an agreement on stuff. If that's the way this is, I don't like that.
No.
I don't like that at all. If I'm the Browns, so I'm hesitant to guarantee him all the money.
Well, they've been clear for what, a week here now? A little bit more than that?
Yeah.
On the legal stuff?
Can I take it to a really dark place?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, let's go really dark.
You got a minute.
So what if they can't come to a conclusion and Judkins just says, forget it, I'm going back to college, I'll run for somebody, hit me in the portal.
Someone going to take him?
Yeah, I don't know if he has eligibility left. That's the one thing I got to look.
Wait, didn't we have the story last week we were talking about
Florio.
This?
Yeah. Mike Florio.
And the Browns end up throwing their hands in the air and saying, well,
he goes back into the draft.
Let that second-round pick on fire.
He remains Browns draft rights until
the beginning of the next draft.
Yeah, we will see. We're going to
talk. Could you imagine if he sits out the whole year?
Don't even go there.
I mean, you could end up wasting two picks on quarterbacks and your second round pick.
Don't even go there.
Sorry.
It's a really dark place, but boy, it's crossed my mind.
We'll be talking more about this. And again, I'm holding out hope that he signs today. We'll see.
All right.
Guardians are still alive, aren't they, Andy?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, by God, it's going to be next on Baskin and Phelps. How about that? I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a baseball team that's in a pennant race. You might not want to believe we have a baseball team in a pennant race, but the numbers say yes.
And do they, though?
Yes, they actually do.
Mm. It's just heartbreaking.
We have little or no numerical faith.
It's like beginning of the week, I think they're out of it. By the end of the week, I'm like intrigued again.
Here's the
deal.
But
I can never jump back in the pool. At best, I put my feet in the water. That's about it.
As silly as this sounds, these next two games at Fenway Park might be the deal breaker. They must win at least one. And if they lose both, Andy, I think they're probably toast.
I think it was Boston. I was listening to something on Boston. They were like, this is the Red Sox chance to put the Guardians out of their misery.
Well, they're right.
Yeah.
They're right. If they go to Fenway and get swept, I'd say they're done. Right now, four games out of the final wild card spot. Seattle holds that. New York and Boston are 3.5 games ahead of Seattle. So right now, the Guardians are 7.5 games behind Boston and New York. They're not catching either one of those teams. I just don't think they'll do that. Can they catch Seattle? Yeah, they have a chance to catch Seattle. Is it a good chance? No, not a great chance to catch Seattle. But it's a possibility. And in order to do it, Seattle either has to fall flat, obviously. Texas has to fall flat, and they've won six straight games. Right now, they're 1.5 behind Seattle. And the Royals are 2.5 back. So not only do they have to catch Seattle and pass them, they also have to pass Texas and Kansas City.
Well,
likely? No.
No.
Out of the question? No.
Can you put yourself in a position to be there at the end of the season for those final three games against Texas?
No.
I don't think so either.
You can if this. You gotta beat teams like Boston. I mean, they're ahead of you. Beat them now. And keep your fingers crossed that Seattle doesn't get hot.
And you got to beat Kansas City. They're ahead of you.
Let other teams beat Kansas City. Let other teams beat Texas.
But you're going
to
have...
Guardians just need to worry about what they can do right now.
They have four games against Kansas City at home.
Well, that'll help, but, you know...
If Kansas City's still ahead of you, obviously
if they're still ahead of you, yes. But, you know, the hope is you're just tracking down Seattle and the other teams. Somebody else will take care of them, or they'll play poorly enough that they fall out.
Do they have to win the next two games? Yes.
No. They have to win at least one of the next two. Look, and I think they're going to make the playoffs? No, I don't. Am I hopeful? Sure. Why not? That's what September is all about. They're playing meaningful baseball games in September. That's a good thing. I mean, we're still playing meaningful baseball games, and that's outstanding.
It's just you better
win one.
The way that where they are right now, it just feels like a loser's motto right now.
I just said that. I don't think they're going to make it. But Andy, until you're mathematically eliminated, you're still in it, and they're not just mathematically in it right now. I mean, we see it all the time. Rangers have just won six straight. Could they lose four straight? Sure. Could the Mariners lose four straight? Yep. Could the Guardians win four straight? Yep. four in a row is not that big of a deal. And four in a row puts the Guardians in a tie with Seattle for the final wildcard spot. So, again, you know, if they were a seven or eight back, yeah, okay, they're done. I mean, that's unrealistic. Four is not unrealistic. Do I think they're better than the other guys? No. Do I think they'll catch them? No. But they can. This team has been so streaky, it's silly. Problem is, right now, one of the problems, their offense is worse than usual. I mean, Jose Ramirez
they're
is
down
not,
like
I mean,
a run.
Yeah. Jose's not in a good stretch right now.
They're like a run behind the rest of the league per average. You can't sit here with a minus 57 and expect to make the playoffs. You just can't. Even Kansas City's almost at zero. And by the way,
yeah, but
the Guardians
that's based
are trending
on the entire season. If you just get hot now, which why would they, and start doing some things, that's a different story. I honestly, we should quit looking at that plus-minus on run differential.
I can't because those are the teams that are in the playoffs or in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, but that's
if you can be above zero, you're there.
But games in March and April and May add to that. We're in September now. Just worry about September.
But it's a great indicator, and correct me if I'm wrong, I just think it's a great indicator of where you are in the season.
Yeah, but we don't need that. We don't need that to have us know that this team doesn't hit very well.
That's
you
true.
I mean, we don't need that.
You're right. I mean,
my eyes tell me that.
Who's still in Kansas City's in it? They're minus three. That's about it. You know, and maybe I'm wrong. I look at that differential between runs scored and runs allowed, and it's so telling of what a team is. And I know it's over what 68 plus 68. What 124. So, and when you look at that, you're like, okay, all right. Well, it tells you everything you need to know.
Jose Ramirez hit 219 in August on a team that doesn't hit. That tells me all I need to know.
We have a 3.1% chance of making the playoffs.
You want to know the good thing about 219 for Jose?
Tell me, Jeff.
5 points better than Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, this has been kind of
your two best offensive players just were, thank you, were bad in August. And it wouldn't stun me at all if Stephen Kwan gets traded in the offseason. In fact, I almost expect it to happen. Second year in a row. And we pointed this out very early on in the season. Because last year he fell off the face of the earth, batting average-wise. Rebounded in the playoffs. But this year's batting averages by month. And again, March is he only had 16 at-bats in March. By month. 375, 314. 308, 244, 255 in July, 214 in August. He's done it again, Andy. Second year in a row that Stephen's batting average just dropped as the season went on. That's awful.
I don't know. Jeff, I know you're going to say no.
And he's
no
one of the two guys that we think can play.
I know you're going to say no on this. Dan, I'm curious your thoughts on this one. Should Stephen Vogt got run up yesterday? See you later. Peace. Bye. Out. Should he have got tossed?
Would it have fired up the team?
I don't know. You think so?
Yes.
Oh.
I rarely think that.
Do you think he should have got tossed yesterday?
He was doing a lot of arguing yesterday and a lot of things. It might not have been a bad thing to light a little fire.
Ah, love it. Jeff Phelps is on our team. Jeff Phelps, welcome to the team.
You didn't ask Menegan if he's on the team.
I know Dan's going to be on the team.
Really, the guy that you call numbers boy perpetually is going to be on the team of, I could go out there and yell and scream, fire people up, play better.
I hope you're doing this just for the show. I'm telling you, I would have lost my mind on the ball that they called a foul ball that didn't even come close to his bat. And the only reason he called it foul is because he sold it to the umpire. That was a brutally bad call yesterday. And I love the fact that vote on the next pitch, which was a strike, and he came out and yelled foul. I love that. Loved every second of that. And then he got warned by the other umpire. So what? You know what, man? Take one for the team. Get tossed out. Chill these guys. I mean, I know he's... That was ridiculous. That call was ridiculous. The ball hit the ground, and then Naylor tried to block it. He wasn't... I mean, he was three bats lengths away from hitting the ball on that. And that's on top of that goofy, pesky pole garbage home run that they had yesterday.
And it's been there since 1912.
Don't worry about it. Been there since Moses.
Don't worry about it.
It could be the 11th commandment, and I wouldn't care. It's goofy.
1912.
That ballpark is just goofy.
Open the day the Titanic sank.
I do like it. I think it's better than old Yankee Stadium, but I just think it's goofy.
Well, yeah, that's how they built them back then. This is the size of the
goofy.
This is the size of the land that we have, and we have to build it in here. It's the reason why League Park has the shortest right field fence on the face of the planet. This was the size of this. The
how piece were those
of
games
we have,
at League Park?
We
how were those games? Were they good?
You enjoy those, Chappie?
Oh, they were good.
Boy, it really was a bully day.
Oh, that's great. Did you buy some stash wax before you went into
the
game?
That's a nice suit you're wearing.
The sun was shining down, and boy, did my fedora look clean.
You just had to look out for the roadkill that was on the street as you were trying to walk in on the brick streets over there. People taking their horses to the game.
So, Andy, they're not done.
They're so close.
They're really close to being done.
They are.
They're really close to being done. They really are.
They're in bad shape. Sorry. I want to see Bizana now. Why not? Who cares?
Because you're not done yet.
Bring him up anyway. Maybe you bring some energy into this thing. Hey, the number one guy's here. Let him get rid of the nasty rookiness trends that you could have.
Well, let me throw one more thing at you.
Sure.
So you bring George Valera up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
George is a lefty. Okay. You loaded your team with left-handed hitters yesterday.
Okay.
That's swell. After two at-bats, they pinch hit David Fry for him. Can we please quit pinch hitting for the DH? Because guess what happened in David's second at-bat? Well, they made a pitching change. All of a sudden, it's righty on righty. And David walked in there and helped that batting average drop to 156.
I think you should eliminate the platoon side of your argument here and really make it, why are you letting David Fry bat? That should just be the question.
I think Fry's percolated a little bit over the last week.
All the way up to 156.
Well, at least, I don't know, it's not 125. I thought he was hitting the ball just a little bit better.
Last five games, David Fry, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 0 for 2, 0 for 1, 0 for 3. Yep,
Keep going back.
You just said recently that five games is enough for me.
Jeff, seven is in a baseball week. What do you do before that?
I don't even care.
Okay, well, we have different view. Life is a matter of perspective.
He's 0 for his last 11. By God, let's pinch hit him. Sorry, Andy.
No, I don't want to. I wish I could argue with you, Jeff. I can't.
He's coming back from the serious injury. And he's not hit worth a hoot this year. And I like the guy a ton. Why are you platooning your pinch hitters during the game? Oh, wait a minute. Here comes a lefty. By God, George Valera's never seen a left-handed pitcher in his life. Get him out of there.
Jeff, what else would the front office have to do if they didn't tell him to keep
pinch
hitting these guys?
You know what the front office has to do in this offseason, Andy? They have to give Steven Vogt players who don't need to be platooned. That's what they need to do this offseason. Give him starting caliber players.
How about Manzardo? Can we just leave him in the game?
Yes, just leave him alone.
Can we just leave him alone?
And they are now. Santana's not here. Just leave Kyle alone.
What's he hitting?
Nolan Jones is 333 over his last three games. That home run against Tampa got him fired up a little bit. Leave him in there. They have been. That's good. Robert Mays hosts the Athletic Football Show. Robert knows his stuff. He's joining us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.